how did the band come together? I know in the press releases and things like that, your media kit, it says that you guys jammed a lot together and worked on separate projects. But when did that moment kind of come where you guys were like, we can do this?
We all had our separate projects going on, and Keen was a kind of a side project. You know, it wasn't really our main one. We just started writing songs, and we had a fourth member in the band at the time, and I don't know, things just kind of clicked one day. We're just like, let's do a three-piece, let's rock it out. We got rid of the fourth member, and it became our band, you know, 100%. I dropped my project on the other side. I was just like, this isn't even help me. And I think Tony and Beppe were playing together, and that band just kind of dissolved itself as well. And we're just like, dude, this King is going to be our band, and this is where we're going with it, you know.
Okay, it's almost impossible to really classify you guys into a genre. I mean, what do you call your type of music?
It's funny, yeah. We kind of wanted to be that crossover band, like a band that just play with anybody at any time, at any moment, you know, and not jeopardize what we're doing with the band, you know, with the music and stuff like that. So we drew from every influence possible, from you know, Opeth to Pantera to like Hendrix and Cream. So it just kind of turned into this super influence band, you know, and I kind of coined it as the California heavy, you know, just a California heavy rock metal. It's just heavy music in general, you know, so that's what I call it. That's kind of where I go off. It's just heavy music. Call it what you will.
Considering the fact that you guys are a three-piece and you have such a full sound, I mean, you guys have to have real chemistry together. How difficult is it to produce the kind of sound that you do with such, you know, few members in your band?
It's difficult because, you know, there's no room for error. You know, if somebody's having an off night, you can feel it. You know, everything's pulling or dragging, and so it's kind of like being up there with no safety net. You know, when you have a second guitarist or someone else up there, it's really easy to flub notes and throw clams, and it's not a big deal. But when you're a three-piece, you have to produce. You know, you have to be on your game. Like Tony is on his game most of the part, and Pepe is just phenomenal. He's just the machine. He's like I call him the machine. He's the metronome, and he keeps the time, and he's on it nonstop. You know, myself, it's really hard to take that, play guitar, sing, and you know, performing live, it gets pretty sticky, man. It's like a tightrope, man. We're like balancing our butts off up there. And
yeah, speaking of the drums, I mean, he does some amazing things. He kind of got like that machine gun drums going on, like reminiscent of some Metallica. I mean, how does it feel like just listening to everything once it's all put together and saying like, wow, three people put that sound together?
It's amazing. We always go drop our jaws like this. Like, man, this is really happening. I can't believe how it sounds. And you know, just to keep that heaviness and just to keep that fullness going. You know, and once again, everybody has to be on their game. You know, Beppe's, you know, I think we're all kind of playing a million notes at one time sometimes. You know, like we're just, everything has to be full, because Tony will go off on these bass lines and he's playing all these moving intervals and all these overtones, and you know, it just kicks butt. You know, like if I'm doing something simple, you know, I know I can rely on Tony to make it more intricate. And then Beppe on his own as a drummer, it's just like every night we play, man, we'll all just watch, I could hear everything, and I listen to him, and I'll like look back and like, Jesus Christ, man, that was awesome, you know. He's always kicking butt, man. Everybody's always on.
Okay, I'm going to give you a hypothetical. Let's just say you worked in, you know, the music section of Best Buy or, you know, Circuit City or someplace like that, and a guy came up to you and he's like, you know, what about this album? And I know we're kind of going into the future a little bit because the album doesn't drop until September 27th, but let's just say someone came up to you with Trampled Sun and they're like, what is this about? Should I check this out? How would you sell it to them?
I would sell it to them just based on the art alone. I don't know if you've seen the art yet, but Cam DeLeon, who did the Tool art, he did our art for this album, and I would just I'd be like, man, look at the art. You know it's good, man. Check it out. Judge that book by its cover. You know it's really good. But I don't know, man. I would just tell him, hey, do you like Soundgarden? Do you like Queens of the Stone Age? Do you like heavy music? You know, you're definitely gonna like this album. And the guys are all good looking too.
Yeah, I saw the album cover. It's kind of got like the skeleton hands with the gem in the middle. It's pretty cool. How did that all come about? How did you get them to do the cover for you guys?
Yeah, we were trying to search for artists and search for somebody to do it. I was trying to do the art. In the end, we called up, we gave Cam a call, and we just asked him if he had some art laying around, if he could do something, and he was really bummed out because he really wanted to take his time with it and make this huge, big old concept art piece, and he kind of started just doodling it up and finding things, and he just got this inspiration for Trampled Sun, and the gem in the middle is actually a sun. And the hands are reaching, are shooting out, like kind of stopping like something that what's going to trample the sun. We don't know what it is, but the hands are coming up to stop it. And in the middle, it's kind of behind it has like this kind of like a cockroach, kind of like a bug being squashed. So Cam has this crazy awesome concept. I can't wait till he comes out with his little press release on it. It's beautiful. The guy's a genius, man, and we love him to death for doing this, so that's what that is.
Okay. You know, considering the fact that you said before that how you would sell it, you would tell people, oh, you know, do you listen to Soundgarden? Do you listen to Queens of the Stone Age? What are some of your influences? And after that, I mean, what's something that you listen to that people wouldn't expect to hear?
All my influences are very, I mean, I listen to a ton of stuff, you know, from like Opeth and Pantera for sure is one of my, you know, super influences, you know, Dimebag, Phil, Rex, Vinny. I'm really into 70s, 60s rock. You know, I'm a big fan of Jethro Tull, I'm a big fan of like Cream and Zeppelin and Black Sabbath, of course, you know. That's what I listen to constantly. Like, if you go into my CD collection or my iPod or whatever, and you're going to see like Humble Pie and like 10 years after, and all just 70s stuff, you know? As for odd stuff that I do listen to, it's like the gayness of, I do like Mazzy Star. I don't know. You know, I do like, fucking early Michael Jackson shit. I don't know.
Well, I guess you didn't stop until you got enough.
I didn't. That's what was in my head.
Little pop, can't stop till you get enough.
Fuck yeah.
Oh man, great. Are you guys all geared up for your tour and your upcoming dates with Drowning Pool and Burn Halo? Like, what's that going to be like for you guys?
It's going to be grueling, man. It's I love being on the road with the guys, but you know, we just stink and smell and it's sweaty and gross and we're never sleeping. We're geared up, we're always ready. I'm kind of narrowing down my equipment, trying to like take stuff out, make things smaller so we could fit inside our little van, you know, and get on the road. But we're definitely we're always prepared, man. You could tell us tomorrow, let's go, and we're ready. We're ready to leave.
Okay, what kind of guitar do you use, and how long have you been using it?
You know, I've had this Guild S100. I've had it for years, man. I've had it since like 97. It's a Guild S100. It looks like the SG that would, you know, that Tony Iommi would use. And it's just beefed up, you know. I got an EMG 81 in it, and it's just a heavy guitar, man. It sounds good. It kind of is my tone, you know. Like, I could stick this guitar and put it through any amp, and it just has a different quality around it for some reason, you know. So, what else? I use right now. I'm using a Meza triple rectifier head. Then it's coming through a orange cabinet. And then my additional amp, I run these two amps at the same time so I could get that fuller sound with a three-piece band. My other head is the Bogner Line 6 Spider Valve running through a Meza 212. And that's it. And that's the beauty about the band, too, is that we're very plug-and-play. You know, we don't use a ton of pedals. We don't have, like, a bunch of cords ripping around. Like, we could literally set up in 10 minutes and just kick ass, you know. And that is great. I love that about King. It's almost very like garage style, very kind of punk ass that we could just go up there and do it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. What do you think people should expect from your live shows that they wouldn't expect after listening to the album?
Oh, the live shows are better than the album. hands down, we for whatever reason, it's just more powerful. You know, we listen to the album, we're just like, yeah, it sounds good. It's great. It's super heavy. But our live shows, just we just emit this energy, you know. Things are just happening live. You could feel the magic. You could feel the intensity. And you could see our bond, you know. I watch videos every time we play. Once we do, you know, I'll get back on my Zoom and check it out. And, you know, it's just magic, man. I mean, Tony's headbanging. He's running around, and I'm doing the same. And I always trip out on my guitar solos, because there's nights where I'm sucking and throwing clams, but there's other nights, man, where holy crap, you know, I'm like, that's pretty damn good, you know?
Yeah.
And that man, phenomenal, never ends. That guy, you could put him up alone, and he could just fucking, he's like a juggling act, you know? You just watch him play, and he's just kicking ass.
Is there a song on the current album that kind of speaks to you the most? Is there, like, a favorite song that you have? I know that's a difficult question, considering, you know, they're all your babies in one way or another, but if you had to pick one...
My babies. my babies. You know, I'll tell you one thing. The Roses, it's a mellower song. It's really... That one sucks to play live or sing. You know, it's kind of like, I guess, Pearl Jam's Black or something, you know. It's just very sentimental. It's a very emotional song, and I don't want to go into details on it, but it's definitely one of those songs that will, every time I finish playing it, I have visions, man. I could see the visions of the music, of what I was writing at the time, every time I play it, and it, you know, it sucks. It does suck, man. And I would go into details, but I kind of want the listener to take that in their own place and not just, you know, well, that song is actually about this. I don't want that to happen. I want people to listen to that song and be like, wow, you know, use their own interpretation and make it their own, because I would hate to constantly talk about what that song is about.
Okay, considering that, what's your creative process like? Do you base it on, you know, personal experiences, or is it, you know, something else, like whatever pops into your head? Like, how's the band work creatively together?
Usually what I write, I write all the lyrics and melodies for the band. We really try to make sure the music is done before I even tackle any melody or tackle any lyrical content, you know? For the most part, this album, I'll take some riffs that I've had for a while. I just start writing some things and kind of start putting, just kind of putting, like, laying the foundation. And Tony will always have, you know, these certain riffs, these certain, really, he writes kick-ass riffs, man. He writes these really mind-blowing riffs most of the time, and he'll just have these little sections, and I'll lay a foundation. I got riffs and changes and somewhat melodies, and he'll have a riff that he's just been stuck on that he's had for quite some time, and then we'll just start plugging it in, you know? And eventually, before you know it, and usually it's pretty quick sometimes, man, before you know it, we have a full-on song, and it's kicking ass, and at that point, it's just about arranging, you know? So we'll sit there for about an hour or two and arrange some bits and pieces, and then I'll take it home and finish it, like give it the polish, you know? Put the lyrics, put the melody, refine the arrangement, and then come back and perform it.
All right.
I do a lot of writing in my head as well. I'll take my phone. I always have my phone on me, of course. And it has a recorder on it, so I'll be at Lion at Disneyland or something, and I'll just come up with a riff in my head, and I'll just, like, start singing into it, and people are, like, watching me, like, what the fuck is that guy doing? And, you know, I'll just, you know, singing into the mic and recording to make sure I have it. And, dude, there's been plenty of times where I'll be just sitting in a spot, like, jury duty for however long, and at the end of the day, I got a full-on song just ready to go, you know?
Any songs that come to mind off this album that were recorded that way, or that got their start that way?
Trampled Sun was one of those songs. I just kind of had it in my head, and I was just like, it's kind of a cool shuffle. I kind of like it. It's really heavy. It reminded me of Manic Depression from Jimi Hendrix. You know, just I was like, man, you know, we just kind of metal that up, make that a lot heavier. You know, and I just kind of like you know, drag that riff, you know, the open D, and then pulling it up into the octave of the big D. And by the end of that day, I kind of had most of that song done. And then Tony had the opening riff. He used that the intro, which is a very Sabbathy intro, which kicks ass. We just kind of tacked that in the front and tacked that in the back and called it a day.
Nice. as far as what you guys are looking forward to doing in the future, like, what are your long-term goals with this band?
World domination, of course. Actually, you know, one of our common goals, it's just strange for most to believe, but for whatever reason, myself, Tony, and Beppe, we 100% are, one of our goals in life for King is to play the Conan O'Brien show. If we could play the Conan O'Brien show, we know we've made it. Like, seriously. So get on that. Call who you need to call. Have your friends write letters. We want to be on Conan.
That's great, man. That's like probably the best answer I've ever heard to that question.
No, we love Conan. It's just, we all just kind of, we didn't even know. We just kind of like start, like, you know, what's that word am I looking for? Doing jokes off of the show. We're just like, oh, it's Conan, yeah. And they just kind of, yeah, Conan's awesome. We love him. Go ahead.
As far as what you would like to say to people that haven't heard your music before, that just they haven't experienced King yet, how would you tell them, like, guys, check us out right now? How would you do that?
I don't know. That's kind of a tough one. Shit, I would sit them down and just be like, hey, King is an awesome band, man. You guys got to listen to them. They're a three-piece. They're bringing back the power trio. Like, you don't see that. Or you kind of do, but not as big and as heavy as these dudes. Mind you, I'm going to over-exaggerate because, you know, I want them to listen to it. So I'll just be like, the drummer is the best drummer you've ever heard out of L.A. The bass player is phenomenal. I mean, he's a big, you know, Rush fan and yada, yada, yada. I don't know. I'll just go off and the singer's, you know, has a big penis. Shit, I don't know. You have to listen to King because it'll change. They're gonna change your life, man. King's gonna change your life. It's like one of those bands that you've heard from, like, this. It's like listening to the Beatles for the first time. You're gonna listen. It's gonna change your life. You're gonna lose your breath at some of these songs. Buy it. As a matter of fact, I'll buy it for you. Here you go. That's my pitch.